just more stuff to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Burnout. Hi guys.
Hi.
We are in a very soggy woods after a few days of
Storm Diana, wasn't it?
Was it? I didn't know it had a name.
It had a name. Storm Diana.
We said it was definitely the heaviest rainfall we've had whilst simultaneously running a session.
Yeah.
It's rained up that much maybe in a night or in an evening, but we've never been here for that much consistent rain. Everything's soggy.
Yeah.
One of the parachutes has come down.
Yeah. Just walking across the site is a bit of a workout for your legs and
yeah.
Have you noticed
for your calves?
Yeah. Well, it's more in my thighs. Like you're just like pulling your boot out of the mud every time you walk and nearly sliding over all over the shop.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So, with all that in mind, we're going to talk about burnout and
fatigue.
Fatigue.
Practitioner fatigue. If it was good luck editing that.
Just drop it right now. Okay.
I'd say this is a topic that has had a little bit of discussion on some kind of forest school leader online groups occasionally.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to talk about it because I think over the last maybe 3 or 4 weeks, one or both of us at a time has been like arrived at work and gone,
I think people quite often associate, SAD,
seasonal affective disorder,
with people indoors because they're like, oh right, you know, you're arriving in the dark, you're leaving in the dark,
you don't get any natural daylight,
and in the middle of the day you're hit with, it's very, if you're in an office you've got this very binary, like it is dark outside, then you get inside to like brightly lit halogens and then you potentially stare at a screen all day, and then as soon as you go away it's like it's pitch black now. But I would say part of our like feeling fatigued in the last month is just that it's that big seasonal change, isn't it? And and I think it's partly to do with like light, but also to do with, I think I feel like I start to take on a bit of the, maybe it's to do with how I frame it, but that feeling of like, oh, all the leaves are falling and the ground is wet and the
Eeyore.
Woods is kind of going to sleep.
You literally sound like Eeyore.
But it's, but
yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, you're a creature of the forest, and you'll start behaving like a creature of the forest. Yeah, definitely. You've got that sort of almost semi-hibernation kind of energy of like.
You feel like I want to go to sleep with the woods.
Yeah,
but you don't get to.
But actually,
you have
it's
to go.
The opposite, because I was thinking it's the opposite in terms of what the groups need.
Yes.
Because as we've talked about on previous podcasts and the kind of energy with the group, something about the weather and the winter time means that people stay close. They're also feeling that kind of like, stay close to the fire, keep warm, but where's my entertainment? What's happening? And so it's our job to give them that and to make sure that the needs are higher, aren't they? Because everyone's like welfare needs are a lot higher. So it's your responsibility to make sure that everybody's warm, everybody has a drink, everyone has something to eat, and the fire's going really well. You know, everything has got to be right. Because the potential, if it isn't, is higher. You know, you can get a kid that does get hypothermia, even in England.
Yeah.
And even just like, just people being miserable. So it's your job to do that. And also to kind of like bring the group together with some, you know, entertainment, or that's not quite the right word, some fun thing to do, like storytelling.
Yeah,
like we say that we don't do that much storytelling in the summer, but in the winter, that's kind of... I notice the groups go, oh yeah, story time. Oh yeah, when is it? You know, kids come up to us and go, when is it story time? When's story time? It's story time now, come on everyone. And everyone comes rather than half the group coming and half of them going, I'm really busy over here, sorry.
I think there's a bit of a... See, it's interesting because I would say what I'm about to talk about doesn't happen at a particular age. It's a thing that children, I think, have to relearn every year, which is where you have this weird autumn month where... they still try and do a summer thing and then like have to realize that there are like different outcomes to it now.
Oh yeah.
Like so what? like we have the big digging pit.
Yeah.
Which has been a massive favourite of like, yeah, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to dig for ages and I'm going to do whatever. And I think the last month we've had lots of children who still just go like, I'm going to dig forever. And they get there and they realise it's A, full of about a foot of water.
Yeah.
It's heavier to dig. Mm-hmm. It's claggier. There's all that sensory stuff that happens where it's stuck to your skin,
yeah,
or again, or I mean, I have seen just in this week 3 children make eye contact with me, yeah, to check to see if they can get away with what they've just done because they have been scooping muddy water,
yeah,
and then like in air quotes accidentally poured it over the person next to them.
Yeah, water, yeah, yeah.
You know, they just kind of,
yeah,
go like, oh, and then they turn around like, oh,
yeah,
can I get away with that?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
it's kind of those things where like in the summer, oh, you can dig and you just dust the mud off,
yeah,
or you're playing like a hiding and seeking game and you trip over and it's kind of like, oh, get up,
yeah,
and literally dust yourself,
yeah,
off. Whereas,
yeah,
now it's like you get up and it's like,
I'm now wet.
I am now
2 hours,
and
yeah,
it's gone on anything.
I actually did that myself the other day when I laid.
You
it.
Wet yourself?
not the other day, but no, I was doing that trailing game.
Yes.
So
yeah, yeah,
all the toddlers were following a flower trail, and then I realised I'd left myself basically nowhere to hide apart from lying down completely flat on the ground behind some brambles. I was like, yeah, it'll be fine. And I was like, oh, I am now drenched, even just for lying here for about 3 minutes. Yeah,
yeah,
right through to the skin. And I was like, yeah, no, I need to start wearing my waterproof dungarees now.
Yeah.
But, you know, from what you're describing, like, imagine, like, the learning that's happening there because,
oh, yeah,
of it.
It's huge.
But, yeah, 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 it does. I agree with you. It does kind of take the kids by surprise. They're like, yeah, the amount of kids who do something and then go, I've got muddy hands now.
Yeah.
Can I wash my hands? It's like, you can wash your hands. Are you going to come back to this,
walk
though?
Forward to you, like, brandish,
yeah,
it, like, almost like, holding,
yeah,
like, an imaginary bowl. Like,
uh-huh,
there's stuff on my hands.
Yeah.
You fix it.
Yeah.
And, no,
yeah.
Well, no, because,
yeah,
you can fall over again in a minute.
Mm.
But I think getting back to burnout, that's where it's, there's, that's one of the needs that is higher, is, like, mm, you can't, it's one of like many things about forest school that you could sit around in a circle and you could say to everyone, hey guys, it's muddy, if you fall over your hands will get wet and you blah blah, blah, and you know, you could go, okay, I've actually just got to let you fall over for,
yeah,
a couple
course,
of weeks, and,
yeah,
then you come, but then that takes so much more out of you,
yeah,
as a oh, it's, what is it they say, you know, have you heard people talk about like emotional bank accounts,
mm-hmm,
and
yes,
you
yeah,
give,
yeah,
you give,
yeah,
and trade and all,
completely,
those things, and a lot of working with children is just giving.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then sometimes you get an enormous payback,
yeah,
with something that makes you feel like, oh,
yeah,
my God, this is why I do. But,
yeah,
it's lots of like couple of pound, couple of pound,
yeah,
couple of pound,
completely,
couple of, and,
yeah,
over a day that can really be like,
yeah,
and I think you've more to, we talk a little bit about like being a learning community,
yeah,
rather than like teacher student relationship,
yeah,
so there is an element where we're able to be a little bit more open, or maybe not open, maybe more like honest,
yeah,
about,
or like,
like,
or like in,
oh,
circle
I'm really
time,
tired,
yeah, like you said,
oh,
the
yeah,
other
I
day,
did the other day,
and I,
I
think that's really beneficial for everybody because it makes it sort of demonstrates an honesty in the setting that says that actually adults, you're allowed to be completely honest as well. So if we're going around the circle and saying how we're feeling,
and I, yeah, so
and
I,
you
a few weeks
like,
ago, it was just like, I don't,
yeah,
really know why, I'm just having an absolutely awful morning,
yeah,
and there's a good chance that my patience might be a little bit lower,
yeah, yeah, I think,
and
you
then,
even said, I'm gonna go and like, so you know, today I'm,
yeah,
gonna go and build some fences, if anyone wants to help me that's cool, but like,
yeah,
that's the,
yeah,
kind of mood I'm in and that's what I'm doing. And
but that's a massive advantage too. So we were talking before we started recording that because there's two of us and we're equally qualified and we're equally part of the group, that we can have a bit of a seesaw,
yeah,
where we're able to sort of go like, because we, you know, we chat for like up to an hour before we set up and you,
yeah,
can just go like, oh okay, yeah, I am going to go and build some fences,
yeah,
and I trust that there's not too much of a burden for,
yeah,
you. And equally,
yeah,
sometimes you go,
yeah,
oh, I'm actually going to need to go and sit and,
yeah,
normally it's coffee.
Coffee.
Normally,
oh, yeah,
you're,
coffee,
like, right, you just need to do this because,
yeah,
I'm on coffee now,
yeah,
and you're like lasered on
that.
Coffee.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
if you are working on your own, I can fully imagine,
oh, yeah,
that it's more of that teaching thing where I used to sort of like, you know, the 8:30 bell would go, yeah. and it's almost like physically putting on a mask.
Absolutely.
And just being like,
that facade.
I am perfect and never unhappy and a completely yeah. balanced individual. And yeah. then you see the kitchen, you're inside, yeah, you're like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah. yeah, I haven't even had time to eat my coffee because the photocopier was broken. And yeah. Yeah. yeah, yeah, we've been there. But but yeah, I think in terms of what has, so if we were kind of at the side low ebb over the last few weeks, yeah. things that have helped us to feel better, apart from like there being two of us, is also planning for things that I guess pay into our bank account in terms mm-hmm. of, like, we've been talking a lot about training, haven't we, and like what yeah. training we might do and things to kind of enrich us as practitioners. And so mm-hmm. It's still to do with work. It's like a particular kind of self-care, I guess, in terms of like, yeah, what remind myself what I'm passionate about and what I want to get better at, and remind myself that yeah. I'm on a journey. It's not just that I'm here and this is my job now, but these are the things that I can do. I also found it really helpful last Friday when you were away, and I just spent the whole afternoon in the kindergarten area of yeah. the woods by myself, basically playing. Like I could fool myself that I was tidying up and building stuff, but actually I was playing. I was playing in that space, and I was reconnecting with that space, which I guess, and you've said you do that as well, don't yeah, you? When you come yeah. in early and just spend a couple of hours just in the woods, tinkering about and yeah, by yourself.
Pottering.
Yeah, and appreciating the space without anybody else in it and letting yourself play there.
Mm.
I think that's really important. And to give, you know, and actually, it wasn't a very appealing idea when I started because the weather was a bit cack, but once I got going and I started just raking up leaves,
yeah,
I was just basically doing mastery play. I could fool myself.
You're having
that
some
I was
Reiki meditation. Is it Reiki? Oh, I didn't mean it as a pun. Isn't Reiki where you scrape, what's it called when you scrape the sand?
That's like Zen gardens, like oh, Japanese okay. Zen gardens, yeah.
Okay.
Reiki is like the hand healing thing.
That was a lovely wave. No one saw it, but it was
it's
a lovely
like a
wave.
Hand healing. I think, yeah.
I was thinking as well, as you were saying that, about finding, I mean, we're talking about, aren't we, like finding your joy and finding a joy somewhere. And I think one of the things that draws lots of people and keeps them in forest school is that you can't be perfect. It's a little bit like bushcraft, where like there are people who are good at firelighting, and there are people who are good at knife making, and there are people who are good at this. And like in forest school, it's like, oh, I'm mushrooms or rope tying or whatever else. And it's almost like this massive spider web that if you start to really go like, oh, do you know what, I'm getting nothing out of, like, I've got a group that I don't know, all just want to like whittle.
Yeah.
That's all they want to do. But you personally can go, well, I'm going to try and improve my mushroom IDing, or I'm going to actually think about some mindfulness and how I can like get that in. You know, it's so broad that you're unlikely to get burnout where you're just, you know, whereas if you were maybe doing, if you were like a maths teacher, you're just doing maths over and over.
I know completely what you mean.
What I mean.
So you, yeah, that's the joy of it, isn't it? That you are a learner, even though you're the leader, in inverted commas, you're on your learning journey, and it's never going to be over because it's so broad.
And it's that thing that you were saying, neophilia, where that love of the new, and it doesn't necessarily have to be like completely new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just finding a new book that you go, oh, do you know what, I'm going to dive into that. I'm going to really see what that brings out. And they're not always, I think the nice thing about forest school is you can sort of justify things that you're like, okay, I'm not sort of reading book and then the next day doing that lesson plan.
No.
Like you might do with teaching. It's like, oh, I've read, what did I do? Talk for writing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you next day you're like, I'm going to go in and do a story map or whatever. It's a little bit more like, oh, I'm going to read. So I'm reading stuff about navigation and, you know, positioning and stuff. I'm not immediately coming in and going, guys, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
But I know in 6 months' time, someone might spark something and I'll go, I've got that actually.
Yeah.
It lives in there and it's it looks like that. And it kind of, it helps it still feel like a hobby to me.
Yeah.
And I have a habit personally of anything that is a hobby, ends up becoming like monetized in some way, because because I think if you work in a creative industry or have a creative thing, you start to, you know, it's a bit like we've both kind of been like, oh, I'm gonna be in a band, and then it doesn't take long before you're like, right, but when are we recording, and what should I do with this, and actually, and then they stop being fun because you've made it work. So I guess that's one of the things that like helps me not feel burnt out, is constantly trying to find like a new route on the spider web to be like, oh, actually I'm gonna go look over there.
Same.
And also talking to, there is a wide network of forest school teachers if you can go out and find them. I think you do have to be proactive to do it, and there's a little bit of, like any group, there's a little bit of like, is it earning your chops, is that what you say? Is that the phrase? You know, where it might take you a few goes at some forest school gatherings before you start to go, oh, I know you because you run that, and oh, should we talk about that? And you sort of, that makes you feel less, because I guess burnout is very closely linked to isolation for a lot of people. And particularly from people I've talked to, if you are the forest school teacher in a school, like employed by the school,
you're kind of like an outsider, but you also have to conform, and that must be really hard.
And just to not have a, if you didn't connect with those networks, to not have a peer group to be able to say, oh my God, my kid's like,
revel in the joy of it and the successes, and
that you've got to explain so much. It's like sometimes I talk to my wife about things, and I can see there's a little bit of a blank face because she doesn't necessarily have the insight to go like, that's very advanced for a 6-year old to be doing, or oh, actually that boy would never have done that 6 weeks ago, and you've got these, which we have because there's always two of us, we can go like, oh, you know him, he always did that, oh my God, that's amazing. And it's like an immediate understanding, isn't it? Do you think you do anything off-site to avoid burnout, like
I think I've been trying to ignore my phone a bit more, which is really hard. But I've also been doing kind of weird things like getting home and immediately having a bath, like picking the kids up from school,
physically washing off the day,
and just going, I'm having a bath now, even though it's like 4:30 in the afternoon. And that really, really helps. I think it kind of helps me forget work and then refocus back on my family. And just be kind of present and immersed in that, because that's also a challenge, isn't it? If you're like running your own business and you've got,
well, that's the other,
you
part
know,
of it,
the emails
business
are probably just sitting there, and you should probably just check, and oh, I better check the weather again. That's another thing. Oh my God, if you looked at how many minutes of the day both of us are spending checking the weather now, I mean, I honestly, like, every day, just like loading the app and checking it, and making decisions and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's also a bit of a, you know,
it goes
with
fatigue,
the job.
It
goes with the job, but you just—it's knackering. It's absolutely knackering. And go and just checking the weather. Not even if you're going to cancel a session or whatever, but what you need to put in place and how that's going to affect your planning. Because oh my God, it's going to rain. So what are we going to do about that? And you know, that is a huge thing.
I think as well, there's part of like your most people, I think, who run forest schools, run it, they run their business, they are self-employed people, which comes with all that invoicing, websites, updating your Facebook, all the stuff that they're unfinishable tasks. They are tasks that go on forever, and you need to have a really good, it's like self-discipline to be like, okay, I'm gonna wait, or that will do, or you know, if you're thinking about like getting more people into your sessions, never ending. You could always make more. My wife is like, her little thing is if she comes down from putting Baron to sleep, she just goes like, oh, making a little poster, because I'm forever just tinkering and like, you know, making our little posters for our Facebook and putting them out on email, and until that's full, you know, until the booking is full, I'm always like, okay, maybe another little poster would help, and maybe more people will see it, and I could share that. And then But then the thing is as well, immediately as soon as that one's full, then that little goblin goes like, yeah, but what about next time? You haven't got people for it. Like, and it just yeah. keeps going and going, yeah. and you need to have that. It's a bit like planning, isn't it? Planning could be a yeah. never-ending task. Oh, yeah. And for yeah. some people who, I think, come from a, I'm going to say regimented teaching background, might find that they're like doing loads of planning, yeah. and it's like, oh my god, and I could yeah. do that. And
I did in the early days of this, and now when I don't, then I have guilt that I'm. Yeah. There's still days where I go, oh my god, but I haven't planned every single second. No, that's the whole point. You don't. Yeah. You don't do that. That's what happens.
Yeah. And being creative with less, because yeah. you also get into that thing, don't you, of feeling like you need to always take to the session 5 shovels and 4 yeah. tarps and yeah. 300 buckets and pens in case they want to do that and pre-cut wood cookies and do it, and you know, and actually
yeah.
there's as much benefit to the kids in going, well, we're limited, this, you know, there's always that thing, isn't it, you are more creative with limited resources. Yeah. And
but I think again in the winter,
yeah,
my instinct is to take more.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, there will be moments where people will just be sitting and have nothing to do. I'm like, that's cool too. That's okay. But it takes quite a long time.
I think maybe it's because in the summer, sitting and pondering what you're going to do doesn't incur any sort of penalty.
Yes.
Physical penalty.
Yeah.
But if you sat on a day that's -2 for 5 minutes as a 6-year-old and try to ponder what you're going to do, like you're going to be crying you know, within a couple of minutes, and it's just so that's one of the things that you just have to factor in, don't you? And I think as well we've found, well, I don't know about you, I'm speaking for myself, that building this shelter has massively helped my feeling of burnout, and having a comfortable site. And so we're here, I mean, I'm here 5 days a week, most of them full days, and it's like, actually, even in the summer, it was nice to be like, oh, there is a contained space, it's got a good roof, and it's sheltered from the wind, and it's all those things. And as we're moving into harsher seasons, it's becoming more and more of an asset to be like, oh, okay. If you were on an exposed, I mean, it's different, isn't it? If you were out on an exposed moorland trying to run a session, you'd have a much harder time than here, where we've got, you know, 5 canopies up right now and tree houses and...
Yeah, well, that links, I think, definitely. And this week, we're kind of sitting under we call it the kitchen that Lewis made, which is a structure with, what do you call these? It's like a tree that's been felled and then split lengthways. So then those two are crossed over and pegged with wooden pegs,
kind of an A-frame,
like an A-frame with a crossbeam over the top, and a clear tarp, and it's just big enough for a group of, we had like 15 people in here the other day, and it was cozy, but it was fine, and it's waterproof, and if you have a little fire in here, then it actually does get quite warm because of the roof. Definitely, I think something I've been thinking of is, I've been rereading books about Hugger and trying to bring that to forest school, and I think this really helps. So it's that feeling of trying to really maximize coziness. And so for the kindergarten, I brought some fairy lights to go in the bender shelter, and think there's little things like that that just make it cozy.
Hugger factor.
It's good for you, good for the groups.
Actually, it was interesting, I commented on one of Richard Irving's videos, as he had the same experience as us on Tuesday, just torrential downpour.
Yeah.
And he'd put up a video saying that he was under a parachute like ours, but there was so much rain that he couldn't run his level 3 course because he couldn't hear each other. So he couldn't talk. So it wasn't even like...
Yeah.
I mean, it was loud here in the afternoon, but luckily in the morning it wasn't so loud, and you told a story and it was really nice. And he commented in... I said, oh, I was glad it wasn't just us.
Yeah.
And he said, no, couldn't hear anyone, couldn't be under the parachute. He said, there is such a thing as bad weather. I said, no, there's no such thing as bad weather. It's just bad locations. It can rain all it wants, as long as I'm in a nice house.
Yeah.
And I guess that comes into, if you're... I mean, Maslow's thing is bollocks. But it is kind of useful sometimes, I guess. Mm. And actually thinking safe in regards to safe from the elements is a big thing.
Yeah.
And children struggle to feel safe when they're not under a roof or when they're not, you know, you could be in all the waterproofs in the world. Yeah. But I think if you were stood out in it, you wouldn't feel safe.
I've got to think about the wind as well. That sounds funny.
Well, I mean, when you get to a certain age.
It was yesterday morning, and I was dropping my kids off at the bus, and just there's a corner around the corner from my house where it's just always windy. Like, even on the stillest day, you just turn the corner and just at that thing, there's something about the hill and the angle of it is just a poof. So yesterday, when it was like 50 mile an hour winds, I was actually bricking it. I was standing there with my kids waiting for the bus, and they were like, whoa, look at the trees, this is cool, look. And I was like, I think we're just going to stand here, like, looking at the trees. And I wonder whether I would have felt like that before I started forest school. I wonder whether my relationship with the wind has changed since running sessions and being more aware of it, and like,
yeah, definitely.
It was like a little insight actually into what kids must feel a lot of the time, just being outdoors, in any kind of like light breeze or rain, or you know, just that kind of like, oh, the outside is actually scaring me right now. And it was quite an interesting feeling.
I definitely used to think, when my life was indoors, my work was indoors, that like the wind was just like a banal thing, and you're like, oh, the kids are going to be mental today because it's windy, and that's the kind of the extent of it. And now I do somewhat feel like wind is the enemy, like it's the enemy of my life. Is like, how do I stop wind? How do I control it and harness it? And and it's a bit like endless tasks, isn't it? It is uncontrollable, you know.
And everyone always goes, oh, just like relocate and just like make kites and let them play with the wind. And like, if you can do that, that's amazing. But we can't do that. And so therefore, the wind is the enemy. It can do one. No, we have had fun and made kites. And stuff.
Yeah. And the more shelters, like we said, the more shelter we have and the more we learn about our site. I feel like the first year we were here, I had massive burnout because there was nothing. Like, there was a parachute and it was just like,
oh my gosh, like, early toddler
sessions. Gotta just like power through. But now, and then you sort of learn, don't you? And you kind of go, oh, okay, I'm going to put that in place. And I guess if you were on a mobile thing, it would, on a mobile sort of situation, it would be kind of like going, oh, we go in this corner or we angle the tarp this way, or it's learning things that stop you giving so much out of your bank account.
Yeah.
You know, make it easier for you. I didn't call it that.
Yes, I think so.
Before we go though, we have moved all our training days to Sundays because so many people were like, oh, it sounds amazing, everyone want to come, but we've basically been selfish and gone like, we don't work Thursdays, you should all work around our schedules. And
but also it makes it easier, doesn't it? It makes it easier for people. So they're on Sundays now, and they're kind of like, I don't know, you could call them training days or you could call them like retreats, just like a fun day in the woods to like do some stuff on a particular theme.
To get rid of the fatigue and the burnout that you might be having.
Renew your joy.
Let's tie it all together.
Yeah.
Synergy.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have, the next one's coming up is the last Sunday in January, the 27th. And it's a day, well, it's optional camping if you would like to, but it's going to be January, so it's going to be pretty Baltic. Mm. And it's a day of kind of mucking around and cooking with all the different bits and pieces that we've got here and that we've kind of not become experts in, but we're pretty proficient in. And it's kind of exploring, all right, how do you cook in a Dutch oven, how do you roast things on a fire, how do you grill. We've got an underground oven, we've got a wood-fired pizza oven that we're going to have going, maybe do some bread in there, and just kind of chilling out with like-minded people, eating all day.
And it's not just for forest school people.
No,
it's like,
absolutely not.
Just, yeah.
And it's quite nice. We've already had some people booking their partners as like Christmas presents, as they're like, oh, you know, because things are nice, but experiences are better.
Yeah.
And what could be better than, you know, I'll look after the kids and you go and spend a day in the woods
playing,
eating.
And eating, yeah.
But otherwise, cool. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.